Good morning. Today we continue a series of meditations from John's Gospel. In this, our third meditation, sees us going to John chapter 3, verses 1 through to 5. This is how it reads in the New King James Version. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Nicodemus was an influential figure. As a Pharisee, he almost certainly was a member of the Sanhedrin. That was the highest council of religious leaders of the day. John chapter 19, verse 39 tells us that after Jesus' death and before his resurrection, Nicodemus came bringing 100 pounds of mixture of myrrh and aloes. This implies that Nicodemus was also wealthy. Nicodemus was a man that many in our society today would give a lot of ratings to. This is the kind of man, if he were in Jamaica, the government would give him an Order of Jamaica. He would be invited to speak at graduations and long service awards functions and Kiwanis and Rotary meetings. He's the kind of person that would end up on TVJ's profile. He's the kind of man that men in the society would want to take a selfie with. As a Pharisee, he would have been exemplary in sticking to rules for righteous living. In short, Nicodemus, by human standards, was a good man. But Nicodemus had a problem. Though he was an expert practitioner of Judaism, though he knew what the scriptures taught, though he enjoyed ratings from society, he was a worried man. He was worried about his soul. He was worried about his eternal destiny. He was worried about whether he would go to hell or heaven. Nicodemus's concern should be your concern. Do you know for certain that you are going to heaven? Could it be that you are heading to hell? There's a view that the wicked gunman, rapist, scammer, and extortionist are so vile that their behavior has placed them on the trajectory to end up in hell. But what is not contemplated much is that decent, good, honorable people are also on the same trajectory to end up in hell. That might indeed sound shocking, but unless one is born again, one will indeed end up in hell. That goes for the vilest sinners as well as respectable sinners. That is what the story of Nicodemus teaches. Nicodemus might have heard how Jesus changed water into wine. Nicodemus certainly would have heard how Jesus chased out the money changers from the temple. John chapter 3 clearly shows that Nicodemus knew about Jesus, but did not really know Jesus. My question to you, my dear listeners, is, do you know Jesus, or do you only know about Jesus? Nobody had to convince Nicodemus that God was with Jesus. It was evident. Hence, Nicodemus said to Jesus in verse 2, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." On the face of verse 2 of chapter 3, there is no question being asked. But Jesus is discerning. Jesus knows what Nicodemus is really asking. Some of you listening today have unspoken questions. Jesus can answer your unspoken questions, and Jesus can meet your deepest needs. In verse 3, Jesus answers Nicodemus's unspoken question. Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I rather like the King James Version's rendition of this verse. The King James Version renders the verse this way: "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus was saying, "Nicodemus, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again." The word "again," as in born again, is a peculiar word. The word translated "again" is the Greek word anothen. Anothen indeed can mean again, but anothen can also mean from above. So verse 3 could be translated "born again" or "born from above." The idea of being born again means that you become a new and different person. To be born again is not to be a new and different person physically. To be born again is to be a new and different person spiritually. To be born again means whereas you were spiritually dead, you are now spiritually alive. To be born again means that the Holy Spirit has transformed the spiritually dead to become spiritually alive. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, "And you he," that's Jesus, "made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." The choice of a birthing analogy for one to become a Christian is not without significance. What contribution did you make to your being born? When you were conceived, what contribution did you make to being conceived? Did you have anything to do with your being born? The word used for being born in the Greek language is in the passive tense. This means that this is something done to the person. In other words, the person who is born had nothing to do with being born. The process of being born again is something that God undertakes and performs. Salvation is from start to finish the work of God. We, in our own strength, could never ever muster up what it takes to be born again. We were indeed dead in trespasses and sins, and so we could never even muster up the faith to be saved. That had to be gifted to us. That's what Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 teaches. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." We don't decide to make the born-again experience occur any more than a baby decides to make his birth happen, or more accurately, make his conception happen. We don't decide to make it happen any more than dead men decide to give themselves life. The reason we need to be born again is that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. That is why we need the new birth, and that is why we can't make it happen. Our condition before the new birth is that we treasure sin and self-exaltation so much that we cannot treasure Christ supremely. The non-Christian is rebellious at the root of his or her fallen human nature and can't summon what it takes to humbly see and savor Jesus Christ above all things. This is real evil in us. We are blameworthy for this spiritual hardness and deadness. Our consciences do not excuse us when we are so resistant to Christ that we can't see him as supremely attractive. Jesus said to Nicodemus that the thing of the utmost importance is to be born from above. What is of the greatest importance is not to be reformed. It is not to be improved, but to be a new creation. That is to be born again. That is to be born from above. The privilege of being born again flows from the richness of God's mercy and the greatness of his love. Man is so fallen, so depraved, so filled with sin, that what he needs is not reform. What he needs is not improvement. What he needs is to become a new person. Man is so fallen that nothing on earth will help him. So fallen is man that only heaven can help him. Hence, he needs to be born from above. That is why we sing the hymn, "Heaven came down and glory filled my soul." Man is so fallen that he needs to be born not by something done on earth, but he needs to be born by something done in heaven. He needs to be born from above. Anything done on earth would be unsatisfactory. Anything done on earth would not meet his greatest need. He becomes a new person when he has a new birth. He becomes a new person when he is born again. To be born again is to be a brand new person with a brand new life. Before a person is born again, they have physical life. When a person is born again, they have a brand new life. When a person is born again, they have the Holy Spirit empowered life. When a person is born again, the Holy Spirit comes into his or her life and makes that person brand new and gives them a brand new life. Concerning being born again, let me ask a question of the Christians and then ask a question of the non-Christians. My Christian friends, are you living like you have been born again? Are you living like you have been born from above? To my non-Christian friends, why not allow God to change you and give you a brand new life? Why not allow God to give you the born again experience? Today is a good day to repent of your sins. Turn to Christ for forgiveness of sins. Today is a good day to surrender your life to Christ. Then you will be well and truly born again. Indeed, born from above. Until next week, may Christ continue to bless you greatly.